Let's just get ready for study of the Word of God. And this morning we have a very important passage we're going to go over. So let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Word of God. Trusting in the Holy Spirit. Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. How grateful we are, Father, for the miracles that you've given to us in the church age. The miracle of the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling in us that can produce for us, Heavenly Father, the dynamics of spiritual love. Pray your Spirit will open our eyes to see the importance of it in our life. To this end, Father, we pray in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. People, I hope you're not just being boredly taught. Spiritual love is dynamic. It is so powerful. It is powerful in what it produces. It is powerful in what it prevents. We've already studied two things that flow from spiritual love, and that it is long-suffering. The flesh nature's love is not long-suffering. The flesh nature's love is not kind. But now we're looking at what spiritual love will prevent. It will prevent the dynamics of jealousy, envy, that is part of the makeup of the flesh nature. Jealousy is the immune system of our flesh nature. It seeks to protect who and what we are in the flesh. So, for our passage this morning, I'd like you to turn to James. James chapter 3. And, we'll refer to the same passages every now and then, but with different emphasis. But right now, let's look at James chapter 3. And I hope this will cause you to grasp, again, the wonder of spiritual love. Not love of the flesh. Comes from the flesh, which is what a lot of Christians try to do. This is a love that can only come from a believer, and only come from the believer who is trusting the Holy Spirit to produce this love in them. Now let's look at James chapter 3, verse 13. James 3, 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Now, we're going to try to look at a difference between wisdom and understanding. Is there a difference? Well, if we understand the Greek words, we'll see that there is. In the Greek, wise is sophos, S-O-P-H-O-S. Biblical meaning of this word refers to wisdom that is theocentric, God-centered. It's used in classical Greek, not referring to theocentric. But in the Bible, in the New Testament, sophos refers to wisdom from God, of God, and glorifying to God. In fact, with that in mind, look at, let's see here. Verse 17 of chapter 3. Verse 17 of chapter 3. For the wisdom from above, which is the wisdom we're talking about, is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, and without and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. All that is in the understanding of the word sophos in the New Testament. And more. He didn't list everything, but he gave us a list. Now, biblical meaning of sophos, theocentric. It's from God, it's of God, by God, the Holy Spirit, and for God. It denotes a fear or awe of God and His Word. It refers to one who has acquired divine knowledge from the Word of God. If you want the wisdom of God, you have to study His Word, because it is in His Word. Now, the next word is a little more difficult. Translated, and understanding. As common as that word is, it's used only once in the New Testament, and that's here. The Greek word occurs only here, where it seems to mean the same in New Testament and classical Greek. So, it's the James is using a definition of the word that seems to be the basic to the word. It means knowing, means being wise, being prudent. Now, how are we going to distinguish between being wise and understanding? Now, here James is exhorting those who claim to be wise to demonstrate that wisdom, to display it, that wisdom, in the skill and living according to the wisdom of the Word of God. Understanding deals with living it or demonstrating it. Therefore, look at the next phrase. Let him show. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show. The Greek word here means to make it known. To make it known by the way you live, by the way you walk. In life, your single life, married life, church, work, social, witnessing of Christ. The way you talk. Very important. Now let him show it in his life. Let the world see it, is what's going on here. You may have wisdom in your head, but not show it. See, that's where the understanding is going to come in. Now, next James lists two ways in which this believer can let his wisdom and understanding be demonstrated. First, by his good behavior, and secondly, by his deeds. So let's take a look at these. Let him show. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior. James' wording here is unusual. Good, kalos, is used to refer to something harmonious, in harmony with God. Harmonious completeness. I'll explain what that means in a moment. And behavior refers to conduct, or the way we act, which means he demonstrates the wisdom in his skill, he demonstrates his wisdom in the skill by which he lives his life. I hope that's clear. Now, what I'm trying to get is to show the difference between wise and understanding. You show your wisdom in a skill of living and keeping your life in harmony, every area of your life. See? Now, in other words, what a lot of Christians do, they live one way at church, one way in public, but an entirely different way in their home, with their husband, their wife, their children, their friends, their family. They live an entirely different way. It's false. This is harmony. Your whole life is lived in harmony. Whether you're at home with someone, your spouse, your family, you're at work, you're at church, you're in your social life, it's all in harmony with who you are in Christ. It's a shame. I know so many Christians that do not live in harmony. If they're in church, they want everybody to think they're wonderful. They want everybody to think that everything is just so wonderful in their life. But in reality, they're miserable. And they do not treat the spouse correctly, in harmony with who they are in Christ. The wife doesn't submit. The husband doesn't love. Taking two things must be seen in Ephesians. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. They don't do it. But they put on a front. So they're not in harmony. So the word, let him show in good behavior. Good is being in harmony. Every area of your life is in harmony. So that's what it means here. It means to demonstrate that wisdom in the skill of living for Christ that is in harmony in every area of life. So it doesn't live one way in public, another way in private. One way at work, another way at home. That's not what's happened. It's all in harmony. You know the old saying, if you don't tell the truth, or if you tell the truth, you don't have to think about what you said to somebody else on something. But when you live in lies, and what did I say? One of the funny and interesting things in the ID study, or the series on TV, is one of the first clues that they've got a hot suspect is that the guy lies, the person lies. And he's just, he'll say something, and then in 5 minutes he'll contradict it. See? Well, if you tell the truth, you don't have to worry about that. Your whole life is in harmony. And that's what this word is talking about. Let him show in good behavior, in a harmonious lifestyle. And wherever he is, his life is harmonious in its exaltation of Jesus Christ and portrayal of Christ. Now, the next phrase, his deeds, okay? This is the word ergon, which is the word for works. It's specific activities in life, specific activities, home, church, work, social life. Both of these areas emphasize the overt. Good behavior, harmonious behavior, are in his deeds, is what the world can see and is seen by others, what others can observe, especially those actions that are beneficial in the angelic conflict. Then it says, in the gentleness of wisdom. Well, James pulled another one on us. This is yet another interesting phrase by James. Not just in gentleness, but in gentleness of wisdom. What does that mean? Not just wisdom, or gentleness. We'd understand that. Live a gentle life. But this is gentleness of wisdom. I think the best way to convey what's going on here in the Greek is to quote Aristotle on this word, on this phrase, gentleness in wisdom. This is the standing, to Aristotle, the way he defines this, standing in the middle between two extremes, getting angry without reason, not getting angry at all. Therefore, getting angry at the right time, in the right measure, for the right reason. That's from the Complete Word Dictionary of the New Testament. So, this word, gentleness of wisdom. Not just wisdom, not just gentleness, but gentleness of wisdom. Wisdom may tell you, and here, I'm guilty here. Wisdom may tell you something is wrong. And so, you very blatantly and controllingly want to point it out and control people. You have wisdom, but you don't have the gentleness of wisdom. Gentleness of wisdom is very important. That keeps you from being in controlling, angry, all these kind of things. Gentleness of wisdom. Very powerful phrase. Not often emphasized in relationships with people. So this is very important. You want wisdom, but you want it to be gentle. The gentleness of wisdom. Wisdom, in most cases, will put you above others. But, if you don't express it in gentleness, and apply it in gentleness, you become a bully. You become a bore. You become someone that people don't want to be around. So if you've got wisdom, that's one thing. But to have wisdom in gentleness is a whole other issue. Now, before we leave this verse, I want to note a few things important to spiritual love out of this. First of all, this verse emphasizes the believer's overt behavior. That's what we've been studying in this whole phrase. And we've seen, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show or demonstrate by his good behavior and deeds. Okay. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 13. This time, look at verse 5. Spiritual love does not act unbecoming. I know when I'm not filled with the Spirit. What I say, what I do may be right, but it's not in gentleness. It's in control. It's in judgment. And that's not effective. See? Spiritual love does not act unbecoming. James 3:13-14 deal with action. What the world can see. Spiritual love does not act unbecoming. In other words, people, God cares how His love acts. God cares how spiritual love acts. At home, at church, in work, in your social life, wherever you go. God cares very much about the way spiritual love acts toward one another, toward problems in life, whatever it is. He cares very much, and spiritual love does not act unbecoming. Secondly, first of all, this verse emphasizes the believer's overt behavior. Spiritual love does not act unbecoming. Secondly, look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5. And let's look at verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22. Get all my glasses, what do I do with them? Oh, there they are, okay. I can't see my glasses. All right. Galatians 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Gentleness is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So, if you look at a difficult passage like James chapter 3, they wise in understanding, show it in your behavior, be in harmony with life, gentle wisdom, gentleness and wisdom. Don't try to think all that through. You and I have to make one decision. Am I going to trust the Holy Spirit? If we trust the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is controlling our mouth, and our actions, we will demonstrate wisdom and gentleness. Because fruit of the Holy Spirit is gentleness and wisdom. So you don't have to worry about doing all of that. All we have to be concerned with is allowing the Holy Spirit to control us. And thirdly, now, let's reread James 3:13. James 3:13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior and his deeds. Okay, with that in mind, I want you to quickly look at Colossians chapter 1. With that in mind, look at Colossians chapter 1. I'm so thankful we made it through Colossians. Now I'm just praying I'll make it through Ephesians. Colossians chapter 1, and let's read verses 9 and 10. Verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. People, this is so powerful, the way that James and Paul say the same thing in different with different emphasis. Paul is doing in Colossians is the same thing. He's talking about gentleness and wisdom, demonstrating your wisdom and your understanding, so that you may walk in a manner. See? In fact, let's look at verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's your harmonious living. So that you will walk, live, have overt demonstration in the manner worthy of the Lord to please Him, not others, Him, in all respects. The way you treat your spouse, family, church, work, social life, whatever. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Okay, now let's go back to James chapter 3. Ready for verse 14, which is really our verse. But, alright, in contrast to walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, in contrast to spiritual love flowing through you, in contrast to demonstrating wisdom and understanding, and how we live in harmony, instead of that, and living in the love of Christ, if you have bitter jealousy. Alright, that's our study. We're studying spiritual love is not jealous. So that took us to James chapter 5, or chapter 3, verse 14. But, if you have bitter jealousy, this like gentleness of wisdom. It's the same bitter jealousy, gentleness of wisdom. Here we have a combination of two mental attitude sins. Bitterness, and the word James uses is only twice in the New Testament. Only twice, and both times by James. Plus the word jealousy. Well, this raises a question. A very important question. Are there various kinds of jealousy? He says bitter jealousy. See? Are there various kinds of jealousy? The Greek word for jealousy is the noun from the verb that we have in 1 Corinthians 13:4 that we're studying. Love is not jealous. It sounds like it's a noun. Now, the King James reads it as a verb. Love envieth not. So love acts. So in that respect, I prefer the King James there over the New American, even though the New American presents the right idea. Love is not jealous, but it loses that verb. And what I want you to understand is, love is a dynamic. Love is a force. Love is a spiritual force. And as a spiritual force, we have 16 verbs. Spiritual love is not is long suffering. That's a verb. Spiritual love is kind. That's a verb. Spiritual love is not jealous. That's a verb. Now, what we have here is the noun. See? So, just remember, we have the same word, only we have the noun form. In James, we have the noun, and it, like the verb, just like the verb that we're studying, can refer to a mental attitude of nobility, good, or of sin, which serves as part of the immune system of the flesh nature. It involves being covetous, resentful, begrudging. Now, we study this enough times, and if I say it enough times, it'll be embedded in your mind. But jealousy protects you in the flesh. We all have our flesh nature with our trends of sin, all the way we are when we're out of fellowship, all these things. And I like to kind of, with a smile, tell young people, if you think about getting married, be sure you understand what they're like in the flesh nature, because they're going to be in that quite a lot. And that's who you're marrying. You're not marrying just who they are in the spirit, but who they are in the flesh nature. Can you handle that? Because we're all different in our flesh nature. And you've got to know each other in that respect. God knows us in our flesh nature and still loves us. See? And I tell Judith all the time, I don't know how you can still love me. I don't love me sometimes. She says, well, I don't always love you. See? But it's very important, people. And so the jealousy pops up when we feel threatened. Somebody else is complimented. Somebody else exalts. Somebody else is driving a better car. Someone else's kid gets some kind of honor at school or somewhere. Well, that picks up a jealousy. Well, wait a minute. What about my kid? What about this? What about that? And if we can't boast about our kid, we just say, well, they're not so great anyway. Whatever it is. But that jealousy protects us. It protects, it's like an immune system. And we all understand the immune system today. And you cut yourself, and the T cells go to that area, and help to heal it. Well, that's what an immune system does to our flesh nature. It protects who and what we are in the flesh. Spiritual love protects who we are and what we are in Christ. That's what it protects. Therefore, spiritual love does not allow jealousy or envy to come into the area. Now, as to the question, are there various kinds of jealousy? Yes, there is. Look at 2 Corinthians 12:2. 11:2. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. What does godly jealousy look like? What does that look like? Well, let's turn to Zechariah chapter 8. That's in the Old Testament. Let's look at Zechariah. Look at old Zach. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 2. What does godly jealousy look like? Zechariah 8:2, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Zion. Yes, with great wrath I am jealous for her. So, this is the Lord, God, being jealous in regard to Jerusalem. And he is jealous of it with great wrath. Now, we're studying Ezekiel on Wednesday night. What's happening to Jerusalem? What's happened to it? It's being destroyed while they're down in Babylon Empire in captivity. And Ezekiel's telling them what's happening. He gave them a little show with little blocks how Jerusalem is being destroyed. God is jealous of it, and the Jews have so abused it, they brought idolatry into the inner sanctum, into the temple area. They do not respect Jerusalem. They do not love Jerusalem. So he's very jealous, so he's going to take it away from them. Takes them out of it. See? That's what he's doing. That's what the phrase means. Yes, with great wrath, I am jealous for her. On the other hand, we're going to see a time soon coming when armies are going to be moving against Jerusalem to destroy Jerusalem. God is going to step in, and there's going to be the great battle called the Battle of Armageddon to protect Jerusalem. So he's going to protect it from the Gentile world, but he's also going to protect it from the Jews. You don't respect it, I'll take it. And this is the way I feel about America. I'm very jealous about America. And Americans don't seem to care. Americans don't seem to love this country. Therefore, it is not going to alarm me or upset me if God just lets America have it. We don't deserve such a great country. We don't deserve such wealth as America has. We don't deserve such freedom that our forefathers have given to us. We've abandoned it. So, it's when God steps in, I don't know. But that's what is talked about here. So there is such a thing as bitter jealousy. There is such a thing as godly jealousy. Now, bitter jealousy. First, let's look at jealous. Jealous. You feel vulnerable or looked over. And you become jealous of someone else or something else. But that jealousy is now intensified with hatred and anger. And therefore, you add the bitterness. Bitter jealousy is perfect here, for it produces overt action, which is in contrast with being wise and understanding and demonstrating good behavior. A good example of bitter jealousy is found in Acts 23. Let's look at Acts 23. A good example of having bitter jealousy. Now in Acts 23, we don't have time for the studying of it. We've noted it before. But it's an unbelievable chapter in dealing with Paul and things that Paul happened. And look at verse 23 is where it starts. And he called to him two of the centurions and said, get 200 soldiers ready by the third hour. Now, what is all this about? Okay, what this is about the bitter jealousy. Let's see if I can find, I didn't mark it down in mine. Oh, yes, I did. Verse 12. Okay. When it was day, the Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves, listen to this, under oath, saying they would neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. That is a perfect demonstration of bitter jealousy. Verse 13, there were more than 40 who formed this plot. I would just love to know if these 40 people died of starvation because they didn't kill him. And I would love to know if they went, oh, well, forget it, let's eat. See? But then let's have a drink. Verse 14, they came to the chief priest, don't they go to the religious crowd, and the elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a solemn oath to taste nothing until we have killed Paul. And, of course, we know they didn't do it. And they did cause him to go into prison, though, in the first imprisonment in Rome later, a couple of years in Caesarea, and then he'll be transferred to Rome. What caused it? Bitter jealousy. Bitter jealousy. Let me give you another example of bitter jealousy in a local church. Look at Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. Bitter jealousy in a local church. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. In other words, people, the local church is destroyed by bitter jealousy. Not just jealousy, bitter jealousy. Okay? Now, one more passage. Look at Acts 7:9. Go back to the book of Acts 7:9. The patriarchs became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt. Yet God was with him. So, the jealousy brought on by whom? Brought on by their father. A parent has to be very careful. You can't just overpraise, overlove one. Because that will spark, that will arouse jealousy in siblings. Between brothers and sisters. Some people rear their children actually to fight with each other. Put them against each other. It's just amazing to me that a parent would do that. But they do. And you can't do that. That's the exhortation. Do not cause them to become exasperated. Well, here Jacob showed partiality to Joseph, gave him that beautiful coat, went down and bought him a nice Neiman Marcus coat, and a hot type of sport coat, and gave the others a JCPenney special. See? And they were very jealous about it. They didn't like it. See? So they became jealous of Joseph. And the best thing to do with your jealousy? Get rid of it. They were jealous of Paul? Get rid of him. Jealous of Joseph? Get rid of him. See? Now, what they meant for harm, God meant for good and turned it all into something wonderful. And you know that story. But what we're doing is looking at the 12 brothers, the 11 brothers. They hated him. They were jealous of him. They sold him into slavery. People, jealousy is powerful. So one more time, look at verse 9. The patriarchs became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt. Jealousy is very destructive. I hope I can get you to understand how powerful spiritual love is. Spiritual love prevents this kind of bitter jealousy. That's how powerful spiritual love is that God has given us. You can't generate this from the flesh nature. I don't want to like this person. I don't want to love this person. And I'll tell you what, a bona fide prayer sometime is, Father, give me the desire to love this person. Give me spiritual love so that I will. It's a bona fide prayer because people were not going to want to love some people in life. And especially if we're jealous of them, whatever it may be. Don't lie about your jealousy. Just, okay, I could be doing this. If I were one of them, I'd sell him too. All right, know what's going on in your own soul. And just deal it out with, work that out with God. Now, each of these is an overt action. The mob plotted to kill the Apostle Paul. Believers in a church, biting, sniping each other, destroying the church. And the brothers. These are all overt actions that the world can see. And the world can see there is no spiritual love. There's no wisdom. There's no wisdom and understanding. See? So they are demonstrating no spiritual love whatsoever. Let's go back to James 3:14 now. James 3:14. Alright, you should be aware of the fact that jealousy, envy, is on the inside of you. No one knows whether you're jealous or not. But bitter jealousy has to act. Bitter jealousy has to take care of itself. Bitter jealousy has to reveal itself. By spiritual love, the world will know that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And love is Christ's love. By being and having bitter jealousy, the world knows that you not even know, that will not even know that you're a believer. Once bitter jealousy is there, they won't even know if you're a believer. You looked at the church in Galatians 5. There's no spiritual love there. I don't even know if they're believers now. In fact, those that think you can lose your salvation would say they just lost their salvation. They just got worked out into a Donnybrook at church. I know somebody who said that their idea, their vivid memory was a deacon throwing a chair at the pastor in their home church. A chair went flying across the room at the pastor. And if you're sitting there looking at it, I don't think either one of them are saved. See? Especially that deacon. See? Yes, they are. They're saved. They've given over to their flesh nature, and their flesh nature is bitter jealousy. And they got to get rid of the object of their bitter jealousy. You can always spot it. Bitter jealousy. So, the world won't know if you're jealous, but the world will know. If you have bitter jealousy, the world will know if you love as Christ loved. Like spiritual love, jealousy, envy starts in your soul, but soon becomes overt, becomes bitter, and must take action. Bitter jealousy creates an environment in your world. Now let's continue James chapter 3 and verse 14. So let's continue our verse. Now, and selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. In your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Okay. Now, you have bitter jealousy. There's rivalry in your heart. Do not be arrogant. Do not be arrogant. Remember, we're going to see this. Spiritual love is not arrogant. It's amazing the power of spiritual love, people. And I hope that we don't just get bored hearing it over and over, no big impact in your life. Spiritual love is powerful of what it can do and what it can prevent and what it can bring about. So the source here, note where the source is. In your heart, selfish ambition. Now, in the margin of the New American Standard, you will note strife. Strife. Erethea introduces something we have noted and will note many times. Jealousy, envy produces robbery. It produces strife. That's what happens in the local church. You bite one another. You start snapping at each other. Little sarcastic remarks about that person. They have little sarcastic remarks about you. Then pretty soon, there's just a lot of sniping, biting. And pretty soon, you destroy the local church. Pastor may be teaching good stuff, but you're out there biting each other. Not even paying any attention. It will reveal itself. But I want you to know where it starts. In your heart. In your heart. The under definition and description, you should know that jealousy, envy produces rivalry. You see others, what others have, or what they're accomplished, or whatever, and you set them up as a rivalry. That leads to strife. In your home, between husband and wife, children, family, church, work, wherever we are. Now, let's look at the source. In your heart, at your soul. See, here is a sure sign that flesh self rules. And this is a sure sign that spiritual love is not in your soul. You are not fulfilling the new commandment to love as Christ loved. And the world will not know that you are a follower of Christ. They won't know if you're a believer. In fact, you're going to act like you're just one of them. That's the way a lot of the church is acting, just like we're the world. And so they don't see any difference. See? Now, if you have bitter jealousy inside your soul and rivalry, strife in your heart, do not be arrogant. Look what it says. Do not be arrogant. See? Remember, love is not arrogant. Spiritual love will not prevent this. A spiritual love will prevent this. See? Jesus Christ is not arrogant. Spiritual love is not arrogant. Spiritual love blocks arrogance from entering. It's amazing how this works chemically in our minds. Spiritual love blocks arrogance from entering into your heart, entering into your soul from your flesh nature. It blocks it. It won't allow it to even enter. That's how powerful spiritual love is. No matter what we talk about, spiritual love prevents the hatred of bitter jealousy. See, spiritual love is a superior way of life. Spiritual love is loving as Christ loved. Spiritual love is the alchemizer of all the Christian elements. Spiritual love is the spiritual immune system against the flesh nature. It's all these things and so much more. I'm sure if I get to study 20 more years, I'll learn many more things about spiritual love as we continue in our study. So, it says, do not boast. Do not boast. So lie. Another environment of jealousy and envy is lying to the other person who has something or to someone else about that person. It produces lying. They are your rivalry. So you lie in your boasting. Jealousy, envy is trying to exalt yourself. Exalt flesh self. And will lie to do it. People, all we have to do for that is just look at modern day politics. There's so many lies, it's hard to know truth. It's hard to know where it is, who's saying it, when they're saying it. It's just reached a point, I don't even care about it anymore. Who's saying, is that true or not? I'm under suspect of everyone. It's just the lies. Arrogant. Jealousy. I think the party, the Democrats, are more concerned with their jealousy of Trump than they are with running this country. They haven't done anything about the country. They have not done a thing about this country. They've used all their energy, all their emotion, all their intellect, if they have any, it's anti-Trump. Just to get rid of Trump. That's all they can think about. They're so obsessed with their jealousy of this man. They cannot believe the crowds that he draws. They cannot believe that people are still voting for him. They've tried everything. I found it so humorous on mainstream media that they were, I forgot where they were, it was last week, and all that they could say about Trump's wife was her shoes. They didn't like her shoes. I thought, you know, that's pretty steep and pretty low. Low, did you get it? That's steep and pretty low. See? When you've got to make a big deal about somebody's shoes. See? It's just amazing. They're so jealous. They're filled with hate. Bitter rivalry. Bitter jealousy against this man. And this is what happens. And it's in their soul. So, they lie. And that's where the source of lies come from. Lying is the environment of jealousy. Truth is the environment of spiritual love. So if you have Jealousy, lies. If you have spiritual love, truth. See? And I don't know too many of them that even know anything about the Holy Spirit so as to have spiritual love. But be that as it may, that's the deal. Lying creates an environment, or jealousy produces an environment of lying. Spiritual love produces an environment of truth. See, when someone is praised or has some advantage, the believer feels threatened. And so you boast. And you're boasting of lies. Here's a good place to learn something about spiritual love. Whenever it is found from Christ, from another believer, you do not have to lie under spiritual love. Spiritual love accepts who and what you are. It accepts the way you look. It accepts who you are in Christ. There again, spiritual love is problem preventive. It prevents the problem of lies. Lies present problems. You're attacked. You're doubted. All these things. Spiritual love protects you from all of that. This person can be trusted, which is a rare statement today. Now, when you pattern human love, say a parent to a child, or romantic love, when you're in human love, whether it's any of these, you're going to see whether or not it's spiritual love or human love. Come in with lies, come in with boasting, come in with bitter rivalry, or is it just accept things as they are? Spiritual love creates an environment where boasting and lying are not necessary. Not even necessary. Not even necessary. Spiritual love rejoices in truth, not lies. We'll see that. Spiritual love rejoices in truth. It does not rejoice in lies. See? Spiritual love does not brag. Spiritual love does not boast. Spiritual love does not cause you to want to boast, to equal yourself with somebody else. Spiritual love creates an environment in your home, at church, work, your social life, wherever you are. People, if someone say they love you, and they keep putting you down, or making you feel inadequate, you know the environment of their love. It's jealousy. They're jealous of you, and they got to keep putting you down. See? That's why a man will do it and a wife will do it. Put down the spouse, because they feel threatened. They see something imagined or real, superior in that person. And it may be superior, it may be real. And they're jealous of it. So they've got to put you down. They've got to control you, but they'll tell you that they love you. Do not boast, our passage says, and so lie against the truth. Okay, let's see where we are. Verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show, demonstrate publicly by his good behavior, his deeds, in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Now, we come to verse 15. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. The wisdom that produces lies. The wisdom that produces bitter jealousy. In other words, this believer has now accepted the wisdom, the norm and standard of the world. Not of God. Because it goes along with the flesh self. The Word of God goes with spiritually, being wise spiritually. That's spiritual wisdom. Cosmic wisdom produces jealousy. Spiritual wisdom produces where you accept and encourage each other. All right. Now it says, the wisdom of the world, which comes down, is not that which comes down from above. All right. But, okay, there's a contrast. This love is earthly. This goes with the study of flesh. Earthly wisdom comes from your flesh nature. It's natural. You will like this, psychikos, for the soul of the flesh self, and demonic. It's earthly, natural, and demonic. Comes from demons. Satan is ruler of the world. People, the whole study of Satan can be summed up in the word jealousy. That's how powerful our statement is in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is not jealous. The whole study of Satan, jealousy. He is jealous of God. Forever how long? He served God, led the angels to worship God, and at some point, Satan looked in a mirror and said, wait a minute, I'm just as good as God. In fact, I'm equal to God. I will ascend to His throne. I'll have a throne equal to His. All the I wills of Satan in Isaiah. He is jealous of God. And jealousy destroyed him. Jealousy caused him to become the enemy of God and bring about the great battle in the angelic conflict. Now let's quickly look at verse 16. I don't want to hang this over to next week. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Every, all kinds of evil is involved here under jealousy, selfish ambition. But the wisdom which is from above is pure. I wish we had time to look over all of these. Pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Now, what I like here, people, you see things almost in contrast. It's full of mercy, good fruits, peaceable, but unwavering. It's not going to give up its position to bring about peace. But it's not going to cause the problem. Now, if the other person causes the problem, then that's fine in the battle. But spiritual love will not cause, spiritual wisdom will not cause the breakdown of peace. So I love the inclusion of unwavering. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown by peace in those who make peace. Well, we'll resume here next Sunday morning, continuing our study of jealousy and spiritual love. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's just amazing what you've given to us to combat our flesh nature. We don't have to work at it. We don't have to go to school to learn it. We don't have to just spend all of our life. All we have to do is trust your Spirit. And He pours in spiritual love. All we have to do, Father, is open your Word and allow your Spirit to cause us to understand. Father, I pray your Spirit could use the things we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of our Savior friend, Jesus Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.